This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
And we welcome our newest commercial partner to the Accounting Influencers Podcast. It's Practice Ignition. You like these guys, Martin, don't you? What do you like about them?
I like what accounting firms tell me, Robert. And one of the things that I ask accounting firms is, why add this to your app stack? Another thing to use, another piece of technology. So why? And they say, because when it comes to winning new work, they can send a proposal immediately after a meeting with a prospect, and it includes their terms and conditions, their sales brochure, place to enter payment, info and sign. It just shortens their sales cycle.
Well, I like the onboarding thing. There's no more chasing payments, because they get the clients to put in the payment details, they digitally sign it, they get it billed automatically, and it's on the schedule of the accounting practitioners. That just makes so much sense.
Yet no more double or triple checking that invoice has been paid in the accounting software. It's done automatically. And when you send a proposal or you get paid, PI crunches the numbers and spits out just about every metric you could ask for. So there's no more spreadsheets or wondering how you're doing.
Yeah, it's the best in class for what they do. And if people want to go to practiceignition.com, use this special code AIR21, A-I-R-21. You'll get 25% off all plans for your first 6 months. So just go to the website and get your 14-day trial and you're up and running. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm thrilled to have with me today Steve Heathcote from Prime Global. Stephen, hello to you.
Hi, Rob. How are you? Good to be here. Thank you.
Just for the benefit of people listening that may not have come across, you just tell us a little bit about your background and what you do right now.
Yeah, so I'm a chief executive of a global accountancy association called Prime Global. And we are very diverse. We have around 300 members. We're actually, the most diverse association in the world. We have offices in over 850 locations, all types of practices, sizes, different geographies. And my role really is to make sure I deliver value to all of them. To tell you a bit about myself and how I ended up here, I actually started off with a politics degree, but I've always had this passion of trying to make a difference and being motivated by making a difference. And quite early on in my career, I realized that business is one of the best ways of doing that, because it creates jobs, you know, that creates economic wealth. That took me to accountancy. And then I very much, quite early on, actually thought, well, I'm going to make a bigger difference if I have a global role. And so I went off to KPMG and led on their global audit methodology, back to the UK to have a leadership role in the regulator in the UK, into ACCA, which is very global as association. So I guess I ended up here because partly my passion for the profession, but also I have a background of over 25 years now around membership associations in the accountancy profession. So it's quite a nice fit in the Prime Global role.
Yeah. And I didn't know that about you, that you had a heritage with politics. And I'm just thinking, managing the egos and managing partners and senior people in accounting firms all over the world, that must come in useful from time to time.
It does. Yes. I think politics is a great discipline because it brings a bit of everything, a bit of psychology, a bit of economics. Yeah. But yes, yeah, you do have to have a good understanding of what motivates people. Yeah,
sure.
That's right.
And just to make the distinction, Stephen, just share with us the difference between an association, a network, and an alliance, just for those people that are not familiar with those terms.
Yeah. So with a network, it's often very much about a common name. They're presenting themselves, I think, as one into the market. And firms which are part of a network, they often share similar sort of quality standards, similar name. Association is more like they're all very independent firms. They're very proud of their own names, actually. There's a heritage behind most of their names. But they're coming together to share ideas, to help their clients and collaborate where they can. But it's much more about choice in the way they work. And alliance is a difficult term, because sometimes that's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
A network and association is not so defined. But Prime Global is definitely about choice and about bringing people together, helping support each other, a kind of common community of support.
And how important is it in these, shall we say, troubled or challenging times that we're in, that firms are not isolated and they do belong to some community, something bigger than themselves?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is vital, I think, because, you know, yes, the pandemic's had massive impact, but that's really just accelerated trends which are out there already. You know, automation of accounting services, a shift from compliance to consultancy. And that means for the firms, there's massive, massive choices and uncertainty about what do they do as a practice? How do they develop the right skills? What will their clients want in the future? So if you're part of a family, where you can actually share ideas. You can see who's the early adopters, who's leading the way, who can you learn from. It gives you that much more confidence. You know, the best thing in leadership is learning from others. Yeah. You know, not why make all the mistakes yourself or take the risks yourself when you can actually hear from your friends and you can make informed judgments from those people who you trust. So that trusted association, I think, is anything is more important than ever before.
It's a really good point. There's so much hype out there and firms are looking for what is the best way to handle this or this, or how do I deal with this problem, or what are other firms doing that are handling this particularly well? And that must be of real comfort, if you like, Tiemann.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And I've seen that particularly during the pandemic. There's probably been more interaction across the firms than ever before. You know, in a way, when the pandemic started to happen, from my role point of view, I was a little worried. I think, okay, look, we have events and that's been a central part of what associations do. Yeah. But actually, if anything, the values come across more strongly for the reason you're saying. It's more about having those trusted relationships they could reach out to. And there's been so many of these different forums coming together and working together on how to support their teams, you know, what it means in terms of their business. Mm. And actually just having a shoulder to cry on in a way and getting a sympathetic hearing because other people are going through the same thing. Yeah. And that's always very comforting when you know that.
Yeah. I want to ask you, looking back over your time, how long have you been in role now?
It'll be coming up to 2 years fairly soon, which has flown by, but it'll be 2 years. Yeah.
So what surprised you most about stepping into this role? Has anything shocked you or really overwhelmed you or changed your thinking?
I think it's my first move into a chief executive role. And I think, you know, I've been on senior management teams for a large chunk of my career working with chief executives, but part of the team. And I suppose in my head, probably quite naively, I was thinking, okay, well, when you're chief executive, you know, you're going to be in control and you can get the things done and you can, it should be easier to kind of plow through things and lead. But actually, I think, you know, very quickly when, and it should have been obvious in a way, but when I got into the role, you realize, no, look, you know, it's still actually more about influence, helping people see your vision, making sure that they feel they know where they're trying to get to, but then they're empowered themselves. And that takes a huge amount of work, both with the accountancy firms, but also with my own team, to hear them, listen to them, and then bring them to a common place. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably a surprise in a way that actually, when you're in the CEO role, the leadership is still through others, and you're there trying to kind of help get them to the place you believe is right, but it's still your ability to do that depends on your influence and ability to persuade others. Mm. That's the right place to go.
Yeah. And do you sometimes, I'm thinking of an analogy of a football manager. Do you sometimes feel like you are a football manager and dealing with your team or your members, that some need an arm round the shoulder and a place to cry, and others need a stern word and a really strong pushback? Because they're different personalities in different roles, aren't they?
They absolutely are, and you have to spend that time listening to all of them and then make sure it can all come back together in a way that they all complement each other and they can actually understand each other. So some of my role has been, and I guess this will be similar to a football manager as well, depending on the type of manager, you know, is your Alex Ferguson or not, I guess, but I tend to be more on the sort of collaborative side. So I'm trying to help the others understand other people's needs and so they can come together more as a team and share experiences and work more closely together.
And I'm just thinking of how my wife and I met. We met in a health club and we would both go at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was the one that would go into the circuit training class with some sergeant major saying, "Brownie, give me 10 more push-ups, you piece of dirt," and get told what to do. Whereas Amanda would go off to the gym and the machines and a Lycra and look great and do her own thing. And she said, "The last thing I would want is somebody shouting at me first thing in the morning." And I thought, how different we are and how different we learn and take on information and respond.
Absolutely. When you're dealing with different cultures, the diversity and even within countries, actually having that time. So we've just completed quite a major strategy piece of work, but we took time because we didn't want to go out and just say this is the way. You know, we've now spoken to 160 firms, each firm spending a few hours with us, and the end result, you kind of can look at it and say, well, wasn't that kind of obvious? But the point is, everyone's voice has been heard and they can all relate to it and they all understand what it means. And I think that's absolutely critical in an association like this.
Very good. Now, I've known you a while. You're an extremely passionate person. You're very positive. I would almost say the light shines out of your eyes when you talk about what it is that you're doing and the difference that you make. So What are you most proud of on your watch so far?
Oh, well, definitely for me, what I'm most proud of is winning the award for the most sustainable organization and the best association at the Digital Accounting Forum Awards, which are put on by the International Accounting Bulletin. But they're very, very, very competitive. And
well, I was a judge in that.
You were a judge, yes. You were, and you know how competitive it was with all the associations going for this. But the reason I was proud of it was because I kind of feel Prime Global has been almost like a best kept secret in the profession. You know, you meet the member firms, the staff, the partners, they're so passionate about their clients. And they are very positive people as well.
Yeah.
You know, they will work together, they collaborate, there's lots of friendships. And for my team, they give everything to support them. So I felt by being able to kind of put a spotlight on that, it's given them the recognition they deserve. So I was just so proud that I could actually go back to both the members and the team and say, look, that you deserve this. This is for you. So that's definitely the moment I felt the best, really, you know, so far in this role.
And you're right. You want it for them, don't you? It's not so much for you and your ego, but you see how hard everyone works behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that's a key for leadership. You know, the leadership is actually about others and how you make them feel and what they achieve and what they can do and the potential they can realize. But when you see that coming through and you see what it means to them, I mean, that's more important than, ultimately, it's more important to people than a bonus or a salary increase. Mm. So they actually do feel they've made a difference and they've been recognized for it.
Well, that's a recent success for you. Let me just take you forward 10, 20 years. You still look pretty young. You've got very few gray hairs and wrinkles. In terms of legacy, what do you think people will say about Stephen Heathcote when you're gone? Or what do you want them to say?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that point, really. I'd like them to look at Prime Global and feel that it has really realized its potential and it has brought firms together much more closely. There is this high degree of sharing. The firms themselves feel ready for the future. They feel confident. The staff, the team is working as one. We have very clear direction. That we're anticipating change, we're continuing to change. And that's all about a culture and a way of working. So for me, the biggest legacy is the right culture is there. And that continues the ongoing success of Prime Global. So people wouldn't talk so much about me, but they would be talking about the fantastic culture and direction of Prime Global. And I would know I've made a massive contribution to that and how that's been put together.
Yeah, that's very good. So while your ego is feeling quite stroked and your head's big right now, let's talk about failure. Let's talk about when things haven't gone right. Can you think of an experience, an initiative or something where you failed, you got it badly wrong? What did you learn from it?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think often failure, it's not so much you have a catastrophic failure. It can happen, but in a way we fail every day in different things and it's how you learn from them. But I can think as for me, probably one of the big learnings is managing my blind spots. And my blind spot actually can often be about leadership, that because I am passionate about something and I really want it to be in place, I think it's in place. So it's kind of like a bias. And that's happened to me before. I'm thinking of a time when I was leading the implementation of quite a large CRM system over in a large organization. And I had everything in place, the controls, the processes. I was tracking compliance. And every day I'd get my reports and they'd come back and say, yeah, people are using the system now. They're ticking the boxes. And it was actually an independent advisor came in and they went around talking to everyone. And they said, they don't believe in it, that you haven't won their hearts and minds. So yeah, sure, they're ticking the boxes, but that CRM system has got so much value in it, but they don't actually see that. They just think they're meeting their compliance requirement. Oh. And I think for me, I just realized that actually you need this outside in view. You need someone all the time who's going to come and say, this is the real world. You know, this is what we're seeing and you may not be seeing it. So I do try and do that now. I try and have quite a wide network of different types of people. And in my own team, we'll often bring in member firms, and just into our discussion, so they can say to us, well, this is what it feels like to be part of Prime Global. So you don't build up this kind of bias, this unconscious bias of the world I'd like to be out there, but it may not be out there. And I think I have learned that through some of my, I guess, failures in leadership over the years.
Some of them. There are more, obviously, that we could go into. But I'm just wondering what Stephen Heathcote is like when you get told off, when you get that realization. Do you go into a sulk? Do you get defensive? Do you take it on the chin and put your hand up and say, goodness, you're right? How do you react?
I mean, it's always difficult for all of us. You know, you get feedback you don't want to hear, or you see something happen you don't want to hear. And same with everyone. My first reaction can be, oh, that can't be right. And again, you learn.
Denial.
denial. But I've learned that nearly every time that happens, you get something from it which makes you better, and it takes reflection time. So it's really important to disconnect, come back, and actually go back to why am I doing this? You know, and I'm doing it because I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact. And if that's what you believe, anything tells you, any experience you have to think, well, that's good. I heard it, because they would have been saying it anyway. So it's best you hear about it, and then you can decide what you do about it. So for me, it takes a little time. I hear, but then I have to reflect, and then I'll start to kind of think, okay, what's the best way forward on this? But that could actually take me, you know, potentially a few weeks to work it all through, to kind of get to a point that I kind of understand what I've heard and what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Now, I know what a voracious learner you are. You seek out mentors and coaches. You're accountable to people. You want to be in and part of the conversation with other influencers and leaders like yourself. So tell us about who's spoken into your life. Any particular bits of advice you've been given over the years that have really served you well in your leadership role?
Oh, and I have been very fortunate, because I've been working with some great people. But one of those really very strong leaders was the chief executive of the Association of Chartered Certified Accountants, right. Helen Brand. I'm sure, Rob, if you've met Helen, but she's...
I've come across Helen, yeah.
Very impressive leader. And when I first took this role, I kind of asked her, I said, look, any advice for CEO? And she said, look, just remember, always do what you think is right. And that advice I go back to it almost every day, because you can sit in this type of position and you start worrying about, oh, can I get this through the board? How will I maneuver something through? What's going to be the reaction for someone? Should I wait? You know, there's all these uncertainty out there. But actually, if you go back to that point about, okay, what do you actually think is the right thing? And, you know, you listen to others, but what is the right thing to do? And then stick to it. I think what happens that hopefully people come with you, and certainly they understand why you're taking a particular position. But if they don't, I might be in the wrong place, and that's something that's fine. But at least I've shown the right leadership for the right reasons. So personally, I found that advice very, very helpful.
Yeah. My background was in teaching. I was a maths teacher for a number of years. And what dawned on me about the career progression was that as you upgrade to head teacher and beyond, it takes you away from the children that gives you the most passion about the job, the teaching. So I'm intrigued to ask you if being a leader has taken you away from what you love doing the most.
Yeah, it's a great question, because actually what I found is what I love doing most has changed. And I'm fortunate that the leadership roles have changed with it. So I know exactly what you mean, because what I love doing is leading change.
Right.
You know, I'm being part of change. And I go from my career, nearly all the roles I've had, there's been something behind that that has been trying to think about the future, trying to move an organization on, get to a better place. And I love kind of working on that and getting my hands dirty on that and kind of seeing it through. But then when you're in this role, it's also still about change, because I'm anticipating, but it's about others doing that. And what I've started to do is take a love and take pleasure from seeing the team deliver something, or seeing an individual who starts to really rise up and realize their potential. And that it's much less about me doing it myself, but you can kind of get pleasure about seeing others do it. So I still, you know, I do still love this role, but perhaps for different reasons for, you know, what I used to love doing in earlier stages of my career.
But you are doing an excellent job of painting a very pretty picture of your role. Like, it's all roses and it's great and it's passionate and you're leading change. But there must be some things that frustrate you about your job, about the accounting profession generally, the space that you're in. Do you want to have a little rant?
Yeah. No, well, no, it's definitely on the accounting profession. I get extremely frustrated with where we are in terms of diversity of the profession and the leadership. Because you look at it today that, say, in terms of female leadership, less than a fifth of partners, and this is pretty much globally, are female. Mm-hmm. And I look back at I've been involved in the accountancy profession over 25 years now. It's not that much changed, not really. Not in terms of those hard figures. You know, there's been changes, there've been changes in attitude. But you look at those hard figures, that is not a very good improvement over a 25-year journey. So that is extremely frustrating, because you think about that talent, the capability that's being wasted there, the fact that the profession desperately needs new thinking and creativity, and we're closing that out. That is frustrating. I'm hoping the pandemic may have opened people's mind up to a more flexibility around working, seeing the value of different contributions. It's been a bit of a leveler in how people contribute. Let's hope that have a long lasting effect. But it's very, for me, it's very frustrating part of the profession. We've not been able to make that shift that's required.
Yeah, I hear your pain there. But certainly COVID, the pandemic, is accelerating change and bringing to light certain things that perhaps tolerated or people were complacent about before.
Yeah, I think, absolutely. You know, and we've all met people who are adamant that, you know, if you worked, you had to work in an office, that they were reluctant for certain things perhaps to be automated, you know, moving everything to a cloud. Well, I've always done it this particular way. And I suppose that's another frustration that when I do talk to some partners, and, you know, that their belief is it needs to be their way. You know, that's what they're used to. And that can be a frustrating part in the profession, because it does put blinkers up in terms of opening things up and learning from others. But like you say, I think the pandemic has, well, we've seen, a lot of people have said this, you know, we've seen massive amount of change in the course of 12 months, probably more than, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, if it had been a normal time. So we have to think that's going to have quite a fundamental change in the way we go forward as well.
What do you love most about what you do?
I love most, it probably goes back to when I was talking about teams and seeing people achieve things and feeling that we've really made a difference with something. So what I love it when there's collaboration and that you see people aligning behind a common goal. So for example, we had a big conference, a virtual conference. It was the first, if you like, full virtual conference, not on Zoom, but on a quite immersive platform. Just a short while ago, it took a whole team effort to make that happen. And then we got fantastic feedback about it.
Right.
We're bringing in some new members now. It's involving a number of team members to do that. And that sense of sort of common purpose, and we've done this together, is very motivating. And actually, you know, around my office here, that I have little mementos of things we've achieved over the years in teams that you can just remember and you say, well, that was a real step forward.
Yeah.
And that for me is very motivating.
I see also a passion in you for developing people. As listeners may know, we ran a series of 24 panels with leaders of global accounting associations. You were a big part of that. But also we went to your bench, didn't we, Steve? We invited the exec team members of many alliances and associations to come on as well as yourself and see what they knew about what was going on. And Prime Global showed up really heavily and showed a lot of strength in depth in how you're developing those leaders. So you must be proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this again is about leadership. It's kind of, I've learned this, I wasn't always like this, but I've learned it over the years that, you know, part of leadership is putting others on the center stage, you know, because they're the ones who can then get things done. They can bring others with them. You get more impact if you care about the outcome. Then you're going to actually be much more successful if you've got that team around you, rather than them all having to come back to you and kind of get directions. And then what happens if you're not there? You know, so I really want a team that are motivated, feel empowered, and they can, you know, they can deliver. So it's fantastic that you gave them that opportunity. They enjoyed it, but they also were exceptionally good on the panel.
But if you look at your peers, Stephen, you must see chief execs and leaders in your position that don't like to give the limelight away to somebody else because it's more about them than the team.
Yeah, I mean, I do see that. And I think I've learned from that as well in a way. And I've mentioned some great leaders like Helen Brand, for example, who I've worked with, and there's been others. And those great leaders, they always lead with their teams and they always make their teams feel really good about themselves. They always give them opportunities. And then I think about myself, you know, what have I appreciated in my career is always, it's never being told what to do. It's always been given that space to try something, show some innovation, a bit entrepreneurial really, but within the workplace. Well, if that's what motivates me, I'm sure it's what motivates others. So I do try and make sure I don't follow that example. I don't, you know, to me, it's not, leadership isn't about the individual. It's about the collective. It's about collaboration. It's about a team.
That sounds wise. Is there a particular thinker or a book or a movement that's shaped your philosophy in life and business? Because I know how much you think about things.
Yeah, the book that comes to mind is actually one I've read. It was relatively recently, so it's probably about 2.5 years ago, but I've used it so much.
Right.
I'd mention it. It's a book called Traction. Have you come across that?
Yeah, I've come across it, yeah.
Gino Wickman, yep, wrote the book, and it's actually aimed at entrepreneurs, but it's aimed at businesses which are just getting to that point where if they really want to go to the next level, they're going to have to scale. So they need to make sure that they've got the right systems, they've got the right dashboard, if you like, to be able to monitor their business, the right capability in the right places. And what the book does is it's a practical guide for everything you'd have to put in place to run a successful business. And that actually works almost in any size of business. So I've been using that with my own team. There's a great, they pick up on the analogy of, I'm sure you've heard it, about you have a jar, you've got your large rocks, you've got pebbles and you've got sand. The only way you can get everything in the jar is you start with your large rocks, which are your important things.
So it's a great analogy, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, with our team, every quarter we have our rocks. We go for our rocks. It gives us focus, gives us a lot of satisfaction when we achieve them. So there's lots of sort of practical ways of really being clear about where you're trying to get to and then lining up all your resource and capability behind that. So I'd recommend that to anyone who's in a leadership role and they're managing people, they've got an organization. It's just a very, very good practical book you can pick up and use.
Yeah, it's a great shout. Now, we touched earlier on the hype that is in the accounting profession in your world and mine. Is there any really bad doctrine or advice you've seen being put out there by individuals or movements that really gets your goat, as we say?
I think I'd go back to what I said before, Rob, actually. It's when you do hear the partners basically saying, you know, my experience is the right experience. So they're expecting to get the next level of partners. Well, those people should go through the ranks. They should go off and do the junior work and then pull through. They should work the 12, 13 hour days, mm-hmm, just like I did, because that's the way to go. And that's so damaging, you know, because the world changes. Clients need different services. They need more entrepreneurial approaches, more creativity, use of technology. And of course, people want different things. They care about the environment often, you know, care about wider society making an impact. So the roots have to be very different. But quite often in the profession, we tend to close people down. And I think it's because we can be very regimented sometimes, very structured. Some of the work is very structured and it just can make people a little bit blinkered. But you see it in some of the partnerships sometimes when that's happening. They're really, again, losing talent. It's making them, it makes it hard for the practice to really to move on. I think, again, the pandemic's probably helped because it's probably forced people to make some of the changes they wouldn't have been willing to make without having been put in this circumstance.
You bring up a really good point. When I talk to firms about succession and talent, they do, these senior partners, feel that sense of entitlement that I served my time and so should you. So we're going to chain you to a desk for 10, 15 years and then you might be partner material. And that's just not how it works now, is it?
No, it's not. And then, they're reluctant to promote people because they think they'll leave. You know, so it takes a totally different mindset to kind of see things from the perspective of the next generation coming through. And then what can you learn from that? And when you see the firms doing that, it can be very, very successful, the model.
Yeah.
But we have to be open-minded.
Well, Stephen, this is brilliant. Some of the leadership insights you're sharing with us are fabulous. If people are intrigued by what you're doing at Prime Global, want to look at membership or just have a conversation with you, pick your brains on leadership or maybe want to be a part of what you're doing, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Well, absolutely directly via email. Just like all my contact details are up on the website. I'm very happy to share that. I've always liked talking to people about different things because that's how we learn, that's how I learn as well. Please have a look at what we're doing. We do a lot of work around good practices and sharing, so being part of that, you know, it's not just about Prime Global members, this is about changing the profession overall. So it'd be great to talk to people about that. And we work in partnership and collaboration with so many different organizations. It'd be very happy to have those conversations as well.
That's great. And in closing, share with us, for the upcoming leaders, if you like, the people that are listening to you and think, oh, I'd love to do what Stephen Heathcote's doing. That sounds like a great role for me. Let me aim towards that in my accounting role. What one piece of advice would you give to them to help them cope and really accelerate their progress?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd go back to be clear about why you're doing it. It's just the test about, can you look in the mirror and think, well, who am I? What do I stand for? So I think, you know, this, why do you want to take on the role? You know, so for me, that's all about the difference I can make, the impact I can make, my belief in the positive force of the accountancy profession. So if that's who I'm seeing in the mirror, everything I do is building around that. If you want to do this role because it's about being a, just having CEO in your name, or being on the, or being on the front stage yourself, or it's about your ego, it's not, to me, that's not going to be the right path, and you probably will not end up being an effective leader. So I think that constant test of look in the mirror, who do I want to be, where do I want to go, and why, and being very comfortable with that is probably the best advice I could give someone.
That's so good. Stephen Heacott, Chief Executive of Prime Global, that's been super. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the opportunity.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.